Well, good afternoon, everyone. Happy Sabbath. Well, it's good to be back. You know, it's been several weeks since I've been here. I know you guys met last week, but with unpredictable weather and uncertainties, you know, that does happen sometimes. But we're happy to be back here in Chicago, and hopefully you all have had a good week so far and are enjoying the Sabbath so far. Well, for the system around us, you know, we just finished January. January brings a new calendar year. And along with that, many people look at a new year with determination to build or gain something new in their lives. Many look at this time for a fresh start or a building of a better life. You know, many people look for New Year's resolutions as a way to make goals and try to fix something broken or unproductive habits in their own lives. You know, while thinking through resolutions that many make, many will search the internet. They'll try to find the best resources to build a successful life. Some will turn to philosophers for wisdom and advice. Aristotle, one of the most popular Greek thinkers, is quoted saying, "As it is not a swallow or a fine day that makes a spring, so it is not one day or a short time that makes a man blessed and happy." Maybe some others will focus on something more recent. You know, a historian, a writer, a philosopher, Will Durant, said, "We are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit." You know, no matter what people turn to for advice, there's a similar component in many of these different sayings and websites that you find. A similar component among many is the thread of building daily habits to make change in our life. I looked around on the internet and there's many lists out there that talk about the 10 healthiest daily habits. Maybe if you want to be a successful person, there's successful lists out there too. There's the 10 most healthiest daily habits of successful people. You know, I found another list. It was 203 good habits, subtitled "The Ultimate List to Build a Great Life." I'll have to admit, I did not read through that whole one. But some of the items that they quote are very similar. Make sure you eat a healthy breakfast. Maybe it's eat an apple a day. Some say that you should put more fruit, more vegetables on your plate. Leave out some of those unhealthy calories. Make sure you get a good night's rest. That seems to be on a lot of lists. Some even talk about social habits. Make sure you speak nice to others on a daily basis. There's a wide range of topics on these lists, but throughout many of these online lists of daily habits, there wasn't too much concerning God's Word. Fasting, Bible study, and prayer didn't make most of those lists. Although one, I'll have to say, the ultimate list, did mention prayer and meditation as a night routine. But the lack of biblical advice, although not super surprising, there was a lot more focus on the physical habits to build a better you. In our daily life of one who strives to follow the Bible, one habit that is crucial for each and every one of us is the habit of daily prayer. The habit of daily prayer. Striving to communicate with our loving, our all-powerful, and eternally existing God. Leaning on Him instead of our own power is incredibly important. So as we continue our mini-series, I know we've had several weeks off, so it's been a while, but as we continue our mini-series on communication with God, let's review prayer through the lens of frequency. One thing we find in the Bible is that prayer is a daily requirement in the life of a Christian. So for today, let's look through the Bible and we'll see how prayer, it's not just a tool of whenever we remember, but instead a daily requirement in our lives. Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, a chapter full of instruction concerning prayer. Matthew chapter 6 contains the model prayer section of Scripture, one of the references. And in Matthew chapter 6, we're not going to read through every level of the model prayer today, but we're going to jump into verse 11 because it deals with the subject at hand. Verse 11, it says, "Give us this day our daily bread." This part of the prayer is something that comes naturally, doesn't it? We get on our knees, we ask God for something. We ask him to give us something. But here we see an interesting statement from Jesus Christ. It says, "Give us this day our daily bread." You know, some scholars out there contest the translation of this verse. The Greek word for daily bread is not used quite often. So some maybe think it's not really means daily. Maybe it's an allotted bread, some type of an allotment that you would get from God. But no matter what that argument is, the Greek word that's translated this day always means today. It always means this day, today, each day. So no matter what you want to argue with daily bread, the context is clearly that this is about one day. That when we come to prayer, when we pray to God, it's a daily occurrence, or it should be. When we come to God, it should be on a daily frequency. In Jesus' outline of a prayer, prayer should be a daily occurrence. Specifically in this verse, relying on God daily for physical provision. Right? Mankind, we need food to survive. Maybe we don't necessarily need bread that's modern to survive. We can't go long without food, can we? Without God's supernatural help. So we need food on a daily basis to survive. And not only that, on the flip side, we need to ask God daily for spiritual provisions. Reminds you of the scripture, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." We live by the spiritual provisions as well. But this is all in the lens of coming to God daily for these provisions. Jesus Christ here is mentioning a daily habit that should be in all of our lives. Specifically here, talking with God daily, sharing our thoughts with him, sharing our actions of the day with him, and then also making requests known to him, as it says in other places. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Because what we do see in the Bible is a clear indication that prayer should be a daily habit in our lives. 2 Corinthians 4. Let's start reading in verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. "Therefore we do not lose heart." You look at the context of this chapter, you compare verse 1 with it. "Therefore, since we have a ministry, as we have received mercy," talking about maybe Paul and our ministries, specifically Paul's commission from Jesus. Then you compare it with 14, talking about knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise up us. So concepts of the resurrection and the plan of God. Verse 15, where it says, "For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God." So partnering with glory of God and the spiritual welfare. All these things, Paul then says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart." And he continues, "Even though the outward man is perishing," even though the outward man is perishing, "yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Paul loves his comparisons. Here he compares that outward man, the idiom for that outward person, right? The physical nature of who we are. Our flesh. We live in tabernacles. We live in temporary dwellings. I was reminded that this morning with a very painful event. Coming down the stairs this morning, getting some cereal for my son, banged my knee on our banister. And it hurts right now just standing here. I'm reminded of that temporary physical state. Every day we grow more corruptible. We are perishing, as it says here. We grow old and we break down. But he compares it with the inward man, that non-physical part, that character, that spiritual quality, that mind. You can think of all these different elements of that inward part of us. He's contrasting the outward physical that is corrupting to the inward that is not. That instead we should be renewing our inward man daily, being renewed day by day, as he says here. It's interesting that he says being renewed daily. A renewal. It's this idea of bringing back to a previous state. Restoring back to a preferred state. When we answer God's call and we're baptized and laying on of hands and God gives us his spirit, we have this this state that is of a preferred sense. The old man is done away with. We're starting a new life. And so when we fall short, when we slip from the path, when we fall away from what is right, we then come back to God through prayer and repentance, and we renew that part of us and bring back to that preferred state. And this is done in part by prayer on a daily basis, asking for forgiveness. It's through repentance daily, becoming perfect, being made perfect. You can say being justified in the eyes of God through Jesus Christ sacrificed. These are just two scriptures. There's a handful out there that talk about prayer, and they just seem to assume that it's going to be a daily habit. The requirement of daily communication with God is evident through God's word. But when we dig a little further, actually, we see that many of God's faithful were accustomed to praying multiple times a day. Not just daily one time, but multiple times a day. Look at Daniel chapter 6 is a good example of this. It is interesting, if you look in the world around us, daily habits, it's not lost on people. People know that to do something good, they got to do it as a habitual thing. But we just forget about this great tool as a whole, hopefully not so much as the Church of God, but there is this tool that God gives us, and we see that it should be a daily thing. Daniel chapter 6, we see the context of, my heading says, Daniel in the lion's den. Right? If we know the story, the event that takes place, the governor's plot against Daniel. And specifically, the quote is, you know, they get a law passed and they say, if anyone petitions against any god or man for 30 days, except you, so speaking of the king, there's going to be punishment for that. So that's the context and the setting of where we're jumping in verse 10. It says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, so that law was passed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed, giving thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. It's interesting, as a side point, you know, Daniel receives this news, and he has a decision to make. Am I going to pray or am I not going to pray? And if you think about it, 30 days, it's actually not that long. We live for 80, 90, 100 years, some people. 30 days is not that long. I could maybe skip prayer for 30 days. That could be going through his mind, right? But he doesn't do that. He knows the importance of prayer, and he knows the importance of daily prayer. He wasn't going to change his mode for even a short period of 30 days. Daniel knew the importance of prayer. He knew he couldn't leave his fellowship with his God even for 30 days. And so he chose to pray, and not just one prayer, not just daily prayer, but 3 times a day. He chose to make a public example with 3 times. And it says, as his custom. You know, there are many items mentioned here in verse 10. You know, he may be mentioning different things as his custom. Maybe it's daily prayer. Maybe it's kneeling towards Jerusalem. Maybe it's kneeling down. Maybe it's opening his windows. But I think it's easy to say, it was his daily custom to pray more than once, to pray 3 times, to take that normal route and pray and petition to God that all things will work out. That I'm not going to be scared of the law that was passed. I'm not going to worry about man's government. I'm going to rely on God. And I'm going to come to God through prayer. He took his normal route of praying 3 times a day to God. Let's look at another example in Psalm 55, because it's not an isolated event of God's people praying more than once a day. Psalm 55, we see another record of this. Psalm 55 says, a contemplation of David. That's a tangent, but I always wonder what these songs sound like. You know, we have a very Western sense of music. I wonder if it's, you know, I wonder what type of music would be with strings instruments. One day we'll hear, though, maybe. Psalm 55, in verse 16, he says, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning at noon, I pray, and I cry aloud. It says David's custom here, as for me, I'll call upon God. I'm going to pray to God. He was calling upon his God. He was calling upon his Savior to be saved. And this wasn't just a one-time thing. This was a daily occurrence. A morning, noon, and evening. An evening, morning, and noon slots. You know, interestingly, you know, Jews did this at the time of Jesus Christ. They still had three formal times of prayer. The third, the sixth, and the ninth hours, according to their time schedule. I'm not sure how Jews do it today. I didn't look into that. But we do see that this may have been a tradition among many of them, and a well-accustomed, I guess, of praying three times a day. You know, there are other references. We're in Psalms. Let's go over to it real quick. Just a quick one. Psalm 119. 119 and 164. A little bit worded differently and can cover many things. But in Psalm 119 and 164, it says, seven times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments. Seven times a day you come before God. Now, it's saying praise here, but no doubt that can include prayer. And sometimes there's some overlap between the two events. Another one in Psalm 88, we don't have to turn there, but Psalm 88 says, I have cried out day and night before you. So I cry out two times a day for you. I cry out three times a day. I praise you seven times a day. We see plainly from Scripture that the people of God take time to pray multiple times a day. You know, the multiple times that I listed before here that we kind of went through and saw some examples of, we see two, we see three, we see seven. You know, the emphasis is likely on completeness, more of a full day of prayer. Maybe not necessarily, okay, have I hit my five prayers for the day? Maybe not so much that, but about an attitude, a mind of prayer. Instead, maybe expressing a totality, a way of life, praying throughout the day. And that's where we're going to transition here as we finish up. Because what we see in the Bible is as people of God, as God's people, we should be living a prayerful life. We should be living each and every day full of prayer. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. It really comes down to an attitude and a mindset of coming to God. Ephesians. It's after Galatians. That helps me out. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. It's interesting that he uses the term redeeming. It's a remarkable theme we find throughout the Bible, don't we? Redeeming the time. This idea of buying back. And now Paul seems to be applying it, well, God, through the inspiration of Paul, or through inspiring Paul, applying it now to time, as if you can buy back time. Maybe not in the most literal sense, but you could buy back time. You could look at your life in an intense manner and then evaluate, am I making best use of my time? Am I doing everything as I should? Understanding the best use of my time. Because time really is a currency of our life. You know, we're each given the same amount of minutes and seconds in a day. And so we have to look at these things, walking circumspectly, walking as wise, not as fools, and looking at how we spend our time. And we should be coming to God with our time, with prayer, and obviously Bible study, but we're focusing more on prayer today. Let's continue in verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand that the will of the Lord is, what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. You know, he's saying, let's be wise, not be fools. Let's think through our actions. Let's focus and let's take time to understand what the will of the Lord is. And that only comes through prayer and Bible study. Taking that time to communicate with God. He says, don't be drunk. Don't be drunk or don't be filled with wine, which is dissipation. You know, being drunk or acting foolishness. acting not wise. I come from North Dakota. People love entertainment, and there's just not a lot to do there. So I've seen plenty of senseless things that have gone on because of alcohol. We don't want to be like that. And I don't think it's just limited to being drunk on wine. I think it can apply to the topic at hand about redeeming the time. Let's make sure we're not just wasting a bunch of time with foolish things, making the best use of our time. You know, we shouldn't just be going through life one day at a time, not really looking at how we're spending our time. Let's use time wisely. Verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. It says speaking to one another, not necessarily confined to just words, really utterances of any kind, which is an interesting topic, maybe for another time, but making melody. You can think of like keeping time. Even if you're not good at keeping time to music, we all seem to maybe find that foot tap. Well, you can't see my foot, but it was tapping. Making time to melody. And it says, you know, singing to one another and hymns and spiritual songs. Almost this idea of making time, making melody, keeping time, almost partnered with plucking of strings that you see in the Greek, and applied to maybe the settings of our heart, about the spiritual things in life, not necessarily the physical aspects of music always. But then verse 20, giving thanks always for the things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. You know, we should be giving thanks always, praying always, praying always. It should be our mindset. It should be our normal mode of, praying always, praying and talking to God. You know, this can be either formal or informal. That we make, maybe when we're driving around in the car, we're saying a little prayer to God. You know, I think back to Daniel, it says 3 times a day I prayed. You know, maybe that was his formal times when he knelt and he got in his room. But I could, you know, if I was a betting man, and I bet you he prayed all the time. He was more in line with this mindset of prayer, knowing that the power comes from God and he can't rely on our own self. Maybe we pray with silent prayers, just in our mind. God can hear those. Reminds me of a story I read in Our Daily Bread in a December issue. It was a story of a friend who took his young son on some errands for the day. Now, they went out in town, into a familiar town. They did some different errands, and it came time for lunch. So him and the little boy, they go to this diner, this familiar family restaurant, and they sit at the bar, or the, you know, the little stools there. And they're sitting at the counter. They order the food, and the food comes to them. The father then looks at his son. He says, "It's time for prayer, son. Let's say a prayer over our meal." He says, "Son, let's just sit here and have a silent prayer," is what he says. The father prays, he finishes, and he just kind of waits there for his son to finish. His son's just bowed down, quietly praying in his mind, or so the father thinks. A long time goes by, long time. And finally, the son raises his head, and the father replies, "What in the world were you praying about?" The son replied, "How do I know? It was a silent prayer." So, silly kid humor. That's not the silent prayer necessarily I'm talking about. This is where we're actually thinking and praying. But let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Because what we see is prayer is about an attitude of giving prayer. Always being mindful that we can come to our Father through Jesus Christ. We have that opportunity to come to the very Creator that is all that has ever existed. Or anything that was created, I guess you should say. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If I could get there. There we go. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul here is wrapping up a letter, and he starts with various exhortations. And in verse 16, we see, rejoice always. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. He says, pray without ceasing. This should be our mindset. It makes me think, you know, in times of trial, constant contact with God helps sustain us. It helps keep us going when we're in a rut or when we're having a hard time or we're dealing with something that's not pleasant. On the flip side, during times of abundance, You know, when we're happy and we're joyful, prayer helps us keep perspective. We should always be praying. There's another reference talking about, in reference to the end times, watch therefore and pray always. We should be in that mindset. There's a parable in Luke where it mentions that always men should always be praying. I ought that men always pray and not lose heart. Prayer should be a part of who we are. It's not just about counting prayers. It's about the attitude and how much we come to God, and that should be a normal part of our life. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6. Just one verse. It says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. It's in all of our ways that we acknowledge him. Not just when we need something from him, not when we need help, but in all of our ways. This is an attitude of us fully relying on God. Understanding that no matter what, we should be talking to God. Striving to know God, acknowledging his ways and his will. Obviously, that's partnered with Bible study. But it's by coming to God each and every day. I think about James. James 5 talks about, gives us the outline for anointing. If any of you are sick, come to the elder, right? And the prayer of the righteous will heal. Save? But it talks about in James 5, when it starts, it says, you know, if any of you are happy, pray. If any of you are sad, pray. It's this universal action. You know, it's for all events. You know, if you're happy, if you're sad, if you're joyful, you know, every mood that you could have, it's a beautiful opportunity to get on our knees and pray to God. Or if you're not in an environment to do that in such a formal sense, to have that prayer in our mind. And then there's other things as well, like singing, praising God. We sing hymns, and that's a wonderful experience too. We get to worship God in that manner. But as we see in the Bible, prayer is really an all-the-time thing. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, in verse 6. Philippians 4, in verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Here again, just further landing that foundation that no matter what happens, in all that happens in our lives, all circumstances, pray to God. Bring your requests to him. In thanksgiving, with that proper attitude towards God. Because there's much to be thankful for in our lives. We have an abundance. We're blessed beyond all comparisons, even in the physical world around us, just because we were born in the United States. There's a lot of blessings that were afforded to us because God provided them. And really, it's about trusting God, no matter what happens, coming to before him in prayer. You know, it says not being anxious. It's truly sad, the amount of anxiousness that is coming in the world around us. I haven't done a formal study on anxious and the stats surrounding it, so I don't know how it was decades before us. And there were definitely times of trouble in the world scene. But I look at some of the youth in our daily world, and a lot of problems that our youth are struggling from is anxiousness. They don't know how to cope with the world around us. A lot of pills that are prescribed on a daily basis are things to curb anxiousness. And it's truly sad because the antidote to that is trusting fully in God, coming before God. Bringing your burdens before them. It reminds me of that psalm. Casting your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain you. Anxiety is growing into that large problem. But daily prayer, an attitude of prayer, is the antidote to that. We must have that full reliance on God daily. What's verse 7 say? What's God's response to this? And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's God's response. And when we come before him and we cast our burdens on him, when we are not anxious for nothing and everything by prayer and supplication, we come before God, God then gives us peace. His peace, peace which passes all understanding. Reminds me of 1 Corinthians where it talks about what can know the things of the flesh except for the spirit of man? What can know the things of spirit except for the spirit of God? You know, the peace that God will give us is a peace that the world just cannot comprehend. It's not about a lack of war. It's much beyond that. And it comes with staying close to God, praying to God daily. Prayer needs to be our daily requirement. And so, brethren, you know, when I was researching for this topic, when I was looking around on the internet for how to build a better life, there exists much advice on this topic. Much too much. Well, that didn't make sense. Way too many. I couldn't keep track of all these different daily habits. But as Christians, we must remember that our source of success comes from God the Father through Jesus Christ. You know, it's coming to his throne through prayer on a daily basis is something that we see in instruction in the Bible. Daily prayer is a wonderful habit that we can all make part of our lives. It's about leaning on God above instead of the world below. And that's a fundamental starting point, an attitude to have. And so as we go forward, let's continue our own prayer lives. Let's remember that God expects us to use this tool of prayer daily to communicate with him. And in doing so, we can have that better life, a life in line with our God above. And so with that I say, let's pray daily.